This episode of Action With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTapSend. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode.
Oh, so I'm nervous.
Nothing is going to be edited.
Oh, no.
Nothing is going to be edited.
I'm so nervous, it's just like now. That.
So even if you have like a moment of thinking,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. Because I was with my sister yesterday. I was like, what am I going to say for an hour? But, you know, just conversation flows.
Just conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out now. And on that note, to everyone listening, welcome to another episode of Action With Podcast. This is me, Lex Limbu. If you're listening to us on Spotify and Apple Podcast, yay, thank you for tuning in. And if you are watching us on YouTube, then hello. Well, I have with me Akanksha Gurung.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming, Akanksha.
Thank you so much for having me.
Akanksha, the first time I actually spotted you was on LinkedIn. It was on LinkedIn. And I was just like, oh my God, there's a fellow Nepali person who I believe at that time you were working or you're doing something very close with the Labour Party in the UK.
Yeah.
And that just kind of really fired me up. But at that moment, I simply did not have somewhere to bring you and have that conversation piece because I felt that, you know, people needed to see you and hear you rather than just like a written kind of interview format as well. And it's taken a while, but you're finally here. So I'm so glad that you're here because I know a lot has happened, but that just means that we can talk about so much more.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. That's such a nice way to like hear that how you found me. And I'm glad I'm here as well. Yeah,
the power of social media.
I know.
Talking about, you know, adding on to the point that I just made about the Labour Party, you know, getting straight to the point, you made quite a big news among the Nepali community back in 2019.
Yeah.
Because that was the year when you stood for
local elections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how old were you? Just like 22?
Yeah, I think I was 22. So I was on my final year of university.
That's crazy. Normally, final year of university, that's when people are trying to, you know, calm down, and just focus on, you know, getting through things. But there you were. I think you were standing in for
Herbright in Guildford. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, how did that come about?
I have been a member of the Labour Party since I was 18 years old. So, you know, for a few years now, I've been a Labour Party member and I've been involved with my local constituency back at home where I live with my family. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Guildford for university. So I went to the University of Surrey and through that as well, I got involved with the Labour Society there. I was actually the co-chair at the in that year. So I was leading the Labour Society in the university. And then through that, obviously, we got involved with the local Labour Party as well. And I don't know if you know much about Guildford, but it's very conservative heavy. And so the Labour Party there is small, but they're quite mighty. And they're so enthusiastic about including, you know, younger people, the students, because obviously the student population is a significant population.
Of course.
And they should also have a say in what the local government does because they're going to be living there for 3, 4, 5 years, however many years. A lot of them even stay there, you know, even after graduating. Yeah. So actually they were really excited to have, you know, students joining in. And we were obviously like really active and enthusiastic and it was really nice to be involved with them. And then when the 2019 local elections came around, they asked, I think myself and another student to run in some wards. And, you know, obviously I explained, you know, I'm in my final year of university and et cetera. And they were like, actually, we really want to tap into this ward called Purbright, where I don't think they ever stood a Labour candidate before ever. And they were like, you know what? We just want to try it because even if we know we're going to lose, even if we don't get, you know, a big portion of the vote, it's kind of like something to say to have someone standing there for a party, you know. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. it's giving the residents a choice. Even if they don't choose us, at least they see Labour Party on the ballot.
Yeah.
And there's something to have said about that as well. You know, it's significant to do that. And this ward, Purbright, actually had an army base.
Yes.
Now, we know about the Gurkhas, and we know, obviously, a lot of British soldiers are Gurkhas and mm-hmm. a lot of Nepalese. And so when we went to try and get enlisted to have me as the candidate, what you have to do is you have to get just 10 signatures from the local area. And they had, in the past, they had even struggled to do that. So they,
really?
That's why they never had a candidate there. And they were like, we're going to try it. And then I was like, you know what? There's an army base. I was like to, you know, the local Labour Party. I was like, maybe there's some Nepalese people living in, you know, in this area. Mm-hmm. And we went through the list and there were so many, you know, I could recognize the Nepalese names, you know, the surnames. There were so many Nepalese people. And so that's how we got the 10 signatures, literally in a couple of hours. We just drove to these addresses. I knocked on their door and I spoke Nepalese to them. It's like, you know, you're not signing up for anything. You're just signing for me to be able to stand. You know, you don't have to vote for me. I'm not saying that. But, and of course, you know, I'm sure you know, Lex, when you meet another Nepalese person, it's just an instant connection. And obviously having the ability to speak Nepalese really helps. So they were super supportive. And like, I remember the local Labour Party members were like, what the hell? Like, we've never been able to, you know, tap into this ward. And yeah, of course we lost because it's a very heavy Conservative ward. But it's just that feeling I got when I was like, my community have like come out for me again. And then it's like a sort of a marriage between like the Nepalese people, that my Nepalese community and my Nepalese heritage, and then like my Labour Party involvement. And so it was actually like a really, really like exciting time.
That's
to
so
do
amazing.
That.
Yeah. Oh my God, just hearing that, it's kind of giving me goosebumps.
I
because
know,
like everyone, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if like, you know, people probably take different aspects away from, you know, that story. For me, it's more like, regardless of you winning or losing, it's that somebody actually stood up.
Yeah,
somebody took that step rather than, could I, should I, you know, is it my time?
Exactly.
And it's like, actually, your time is right now.
And you know what, Lex? Also, something I've learned is that it's not always about winning. And I know that sounds like such a stereotypical saying, but like, even that ward, I knew I wasn't going to win, but it's the fact that we just have representation of the Labour Party at ballot. It's the fact that, okay, if there is even just one person who believes in the Labour Party's message in that ward, they actually have the ability to vote for us, you know, and that was really important to me. So,
That's so amazing. I think that just hearing that, just that bit, it has just kind of really inspired me. But the backstory of like, you know, connecting with fellow Nepali families there,
I know,
that's amazing.
I love that.
So politics, you joined the Labour Party as a member in 2018.
When I was 18 years old.
Oh, when you were 18.
Yeah, okay, when I was 18 years old. Yeah.
Yes, that's what you said. So how does one become a member of a political party in the UK?
So I'm not sure about the other parties. They might have different rules, but I think you can join the Labour Party when you're as young as 14. So actually I probably would have joined before then, but I thought you had to be 18,
you
have to check the rules.
Yeah.
So I waited until I was 18 and then I found out actually you can join earlier than that. And again, the rules might have changed, but that's how it was before. And you just sign up. And as a student, again, they charge you some money, but as a student, it was like £1 a year or something. They make it super accessible, and again, that might depend on the different political parties and it depends on your age, your income, etc., but they make it super accessible for young people and students. So yeah, literally just signing up, and then you get a card and it tells you, you know, the details of your local Labour Party, so you can connect with other people in your local area that, you know, are part of the same party.
Great. So I guess for anyone who's listening and who's kind of like interested, please Google it. I had also checked as well back in the days and so on. So but I just thought, you know what, let's hear it from you.
Yeah, yeah, it's super easy, yeah.
And I read your kind of, I don't know if that's called a manifesto, but there was like a 2-page document when you were kind of standing up and so on. And there were some priorities and things there. How do you think like time has changed from 2019 to 2022? If you were to, you know, go for local election right now representing somewhere else, then what are some of the maybe new things or themes that would be of your concern for your kind of community?
The thing is, that's actually quite a hard question to answer, because it really local elections and local priorities really depend on the area. So if you are standing on a more deprived area, your concerns might be different to if you're standing in a more affluent area, for example. Mm-hmm. So it really does depend. And as you know, I've been away for a while. So I've not been familiar with the local problems of like my constituency, for example. But I would say, I mean, coming from London, the cost of living in London is astronomical. If I was standing right now, I would emphasize on that, but also emphasize on young people, because I'm 25 and I'm still living at home with my parents, which is like, you know, normal. But like, I'm just like, when am I going to be able to move out? Like, rent is this much, bills is this much, you know, the wages aren't increasing with the, you know, the cost of living in London. Yeah. So being a London resident, honestly, that's one of my biggest concerns. Like, personally, I know, speaking to a lot of friends who are either from London, living in London, or want to, you know, move to London for jobs, opportunities or whatever. They're like, well, how are these wages going to keep up with the cost of living? That's honestly one of my biggest concerns is,
dampen
the mood a little bit.
And now we're heading towards a recession.
And the other day I was just, you know, on my phone, and then I just get a news alert, recession coming. And I was like, I do not need this right now.
I was just, anyways. On a different note, So how did you end up in the world of politics?
So I would credit my late father, Gyan Bahadur Gurung. So if you aren't aware of him, he was actually the first Nepalese Labour councillor. So he stood in my local area and he was a councillor for a ward called Colliers Wood. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously, like, I remember being younger, and I remember he used to take me and my brother on weekends to do like leafleting.
Oh, really?
Like with him.
How did you view that activity then as a younger person?
I remember being like, why are we doing, like, being so confused, like, why are we doing this? And like, I just remember, like, you know, getting up early in the morning and like, it'd be cold, and be like, why am I doing this? But sometimes it'd be really fun, and like, we'd get to meet like loads of different people, and like, we'd meet the other counselors, and to this day they're still like looking out for us, and I'm still close to them. So actually, like, it was really like nice bonding with them. But I remember being like so confused, like, what is this? And then sadly my father passed away when I was 16 years old, and obviously, like, you know, he will always have that impact on me, you know, that he stood up as a Labour councillor. His values in life, you know, the values that the Labour Party overall try and carry. But just the things he taught me as well, like, he, you know, I'm sure like a lot of Nepalese people will understand, like, education is so important in our culture, and he really like pushed that onto me as well. So I think, like, not just in the sort of traditional education term, but also like just like learning about the world and thinking critically and thinking sort of like, why is this happening? Yeah. Who is doing this? And I think when you start to ask that question, you start to ask questions about like the system we're in, the laws that we have, you know, who's in power. And I think that kind of like way of bringing up always made me like, you know, question these things. And I think that's how I slowly got into politics as well. And actually, I didn't even study politics at, you know, high school, but I studied history, and we did, you know, history obviously incorporates a lot of politics. And I remember being so interested, and we even went to a school trip to Washington, D.C. And I remember just being...
Sorry, what? You went on a school trip to Washington, D.C., which is in America.
I know.
That's such a major school trip.
I know.
Was this during sixth form or...
Yeah, so I was like 17, 18 years old.
That's still major. I mean, we went to Wales, so...
Yeah, we were at Lee. No,
was this a normal state school?
And so, okay, that's another story. But I was at a grammar school for sixth form. But we also went during February, which is so cold. So I think the ticket were very cheap then. But yeah, and I think going to Washington, D.C., like, all those accumulated so much interest in me. And then I think the sort of like where it hit boiling point was the 2015 general election. So I was 18 at that point, so I could vote for the first time. Yeah. And also then when you can vote, I feel like you have more of an investment as well. And for me, it was so clear cut who I wanted to win, not just because of my family background, but just because of the values I had, and especially for young people. And I remember being like so invested in it. I remember having like debates, I remember campaigning. And then when you know, Labour Party lost. I remember being devastated and I was like, no, but actually, okay, this thing happened, but I've got this fire in me. I've got this passion in me. It doesn't mean like just because the general election's over, it doesn't mean that I just stopped, you know, I just stopped caring. These issues I actually do still care about, so I can also do something. And I think that's when I was like, okay, I actually, like, I'm so passionate about this. And funny thing, I was originally going to study psychology at university and I changed like last minute because I was like, my gut was telling me something. And I was just like, I just can't ignore this feeling. Mm-hmm. And I remember the memory, like, coming home one day from school and I said to my mom, like, mom, I'm going to change. Like, I'm going to do politics. And I'm, you know, mums, obviously they're going to be concerned. They're going to be like, oh, but like, you know, what job are you going to get from that? Like, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah.
And I just told her, I was like, mom, I just know, like, I just know, like, I need to change. And then at that point, I'd even written my, you know, like, you know, the statement that you send to your university. Yes, yes. I'd already written that up, already got that checked. I changed all, I had to change it all.
Wow. But that's a lot of work.
Like, yeah, but I just knew, like, I was like, this gut feeling was telling me, and I just like went for it, and obviously, like, here I am.
That's
so
amazing. So 3 years, was it 3 years at university? Sorry.
So no, I did 4 years.
Oh, okay, cool.
I did a placement year, so it's like an extra year. So 4 years at Surrey, and then after I graduated, I did a part-time master's at King's College London. So that was 2 years because I was also working.
And what were you doing? What did you do for your master's?
I did environment, politics, and globalization.
Wow.
Yeah, super interesting,
yeah,
super
very
hard.
Fitting.
Yeah, but it was really interesting. I really loved it.
So globalization, was that like from the Department of Geography, or
yes, it was
because I went to Department of Geography at King's.
Oh, yeah. Such a nice department. I really like them. I mean, I was going to lectures physically for 4 months, and then the pandemic happened.
Oh,
so unfortunately, like, a lot of my master's experience was just online. But even so, like, the lecturers were so supportive, and obviously they understood the difficulty of doing everything online.
Yeah.
You know, teaching online. So yeah, the geography department were super nice. Yeah.
Cool. So I think it's incredible how, you know, the imprint that your father left, not only on the Nepali community here, I think the legacy that he left, especially for so many people.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, that conversation continues, what your father started and so on.
Yeah.
But personally at home, and for you as well in your journey, that's amazing, because I feel like a lot of the times when we grow up as young people, maybe due to our kind of cultural backgrounds and so on, we're not really nurtured to think critically. We're not really asked to
100%.
Wonder, to ask why, and so on, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, it's only once you get into university, once you kind of get past that first year kind of confusion, that's when you're suddenly like, actually, I need to always be critical. Especially when you do like something more like, you know, social sciences and so on, you're always asked why, how, which is completely different to how you grow up in our kind of hierarchical community, where it's just like, just say yes, just nod,
even if
somebody is wrong, right? And so it's like that kind of box is just like locked away. But it's really good that, you know, you had that from an early age and so on. But I find that now, because of social media, there's so many interesting pages or people, and that make you think as well. So without going to university and so on,
you can absolutely kind of unlock. There is no obligation to go to university, but yeah, you're right, like, there is a patriarchal precedent in a more traditional Nepalese society or Nepalese family, and that's not to say like that I was like, you know, not experiencing them. I did. Obviously, like, I wasn't even born here. I was born in Nepal, and both my parents also from a very like traditional Nepalese backgrounds. But I think my parents have always been a little bit more progressive, and I've never really felt that they've hindered me in that way. They've always you know, told me that education is so important, but it's not just education. Obviously, that's got to lead to a career, and so they've always supported me in that, and they've always supported me, like, even like traveling, like, for example, I know, like, a lot of Nepalese you know, people growing up might have a struggle with that, but luckily, like, even with that, like, it took time and it took convincing, but even that, like, it's just, you know, that my mum has been like really supportive of that. I've been so, yeah, I've been really lucky, but it's not to say that I've been completely avoid of it.
Okay. No, that's really it's really great to hear. And you know, like you said, no matter what the challenge is, our parents operate from a different kind of time period and so on. And they have their own battle regarding identity, culture, the loss, you know, the impending loss and so on. But, you know, if we feel that, you know, there's something that we really need to do, want to do, and that's going to make us feel better or our journey, you know, get more value, then we really need to pursue
push
towards it as well. Just like how you changed your course towards the kind of, you know, final period and so on. We just have to do it. So after the 2019 local elections, when you received the news that you lost, or when you, when you saw that, you know, that was about to happen and so on, how did that make you feel?
Oh, like I was expecting it, but it was still like so exciting to be able to go to the count, which is this event where they obviously count the votes and they announce it. And I was also there with the local Labour Party, who obviously I was very close with, and I was there supporting them as well. And actually, I had a university friend who was who got elected in, but for the Liberal Democrats.
Oh, okay.
So obviously opposing party, but obviously I was still friends with him. So I was really happy to see that. So it was still a really exciting and new experience. So it wasn't, I knew it was going to be a loss, but it was just so exciting to be part of the whole journey and experience. Yeah.
Welcome to A*STAR, your complete financial solution. The A stands for first class service, and the star relates to you, our most important clients. We are a team of whole market advisors with more than 10 years of excellent service. Serving nationwide, we specialized in home mortgages and remortgages, wills and estate planning, residential sales and lettings, property management, real estates, insurances and pensions. For both personal and business financial advices, please feel free to contact us for consultant. We look forward to working with you. A*STAR Financial Solution, making your move memorable.
This episode of Exchange With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A*STAR Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTap Send. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and Send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabin Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode.
And like, you know, Akanksha, like it's 2022 now. So much has happened, like politically and so on. So much continues to happen.
I know.
In the UK, we're seeing so many things unfold.
What
do you like? And also with Labour Party kind of struggling at the moment, or has been for a while. Like, what's your view? Like, you know, how does all of this make you feel? Because sometimes I feel like when you're You either go one way or the other way. One way is you love something even more. You're like, no, we're going to go through this. It's a tough phase, but we're going to go through this. But sometimes, even as members and so on, we become more like lost in this whole kind of funk. And we're like, okay, I really don't know if I should be believing this anymore. Or like, you know, you forget your political ideology and so on as well.
Unfortunately, I think I'm steering towards the second category. And it's more the fact that since I've been able to vote, every significant election or referendum I voted in has gone the other way. And even though at the start, you know, 2015, I was like, okay, it's fine, I can continue this. And I did for so many years. I put my heart and soul into activism, into, you know, trying to win elections. And when it doesn't go the way every time, it's so demoralizing, especially as a young person. And I remember when Brexit happened as well, like,
because
general elections happen every few years. I mean, in our country, it's happening like a lot more than it should traditionally be. But the referendum is so like set in stone now that I'm just like, I was so devastated. And especially as someone who, you know, loves to travel, who wants opportunities for young people to prosper, that's really going to limit young people. And I remember like that was sort of like the beginning of the end, I would say, when I was just like feeling so defeated. And then every time there's a general election, we're losing, and I'd have hope and then we'd lose. And I think it's just kind of getting to me, you know? And then, as you said, within the Labour Party as well, there's so much infighting. And then like the Conservatives are becoming even more right wing as we go on. Yeah. And I'm just like really losing hope. So I think I am still involved with politics, but in different ways. You know, there's a world of politics and influencing in politics outside of party politics. And a lot of people do need to take that into account. And I think I've just kind of been like, okay, I think I want to, I'm still a member.
Yeah.
And I would still support the Labour Party, but I think, yeah, I'm just kind of not as involved with the party politics anymore. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
No, I think that was a very honest answer as well. And I really did not know which way you were going to go, but I know a few people as well. Like, you know, they really love, they've always loved the Labour Party, but also like they're getting to that point that they know the Labour Party can and needs to be so much better. So this is the, right now is not what they support, even though they'll always be in the Labour Party spectrum.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's such a complex thing. And equally, you know, they're not going to vote for anybody else.
They're
not going to vote for anybody else. It's just that, right, it's a very complex kind of
View and right now, there's just so much happening in party politics, you know, Labour Party, Conservative Party. I mean, right now, we have the leadership contest in the Conservative Party. And I'm just like, I'm just losing hope now, you know, and it's so demoralizing. And I'm only 25, so I'm just like,
So on a positive note, what are some things that you do that you see, or you know, that you kind of are involved in that makes you kind of be hopeful about the world and about the days ahead?
Yeah, so right now I'm the head of communications at a not-for-profit called the Future Leaders Network. And they're a not-for-profit organization that really wants to empower and train up young people and in anything. It doesn't have to be politics. It can be politics, business, whatever field that you want to go into. They want to like empower young people. And alongside, you know, running workshops and training, they also send in youth delegates to three significant sort of international governmental summits so that the youth voices of the UK are represented. So I'm the head of communications at that organization, and I also worked with them last year. And so I think that's been really encouraging, because just supporting young people. I mean, I've talked about young people already so far, and I think that's the key. I mean, we are the future generation. So supporting them in these like summits they go to, but also just in any field that they want to embark on, just making sure that they're empowered to do so. So yeah, the work that I do with the Future Leaders Network has been really exciting.
That's really nice. Yeah. That's really nice. I think it's always, it is the young people, or like people with a fresh perspective.
They're
the ones like we need to kind of look into or look in from. And that's the only way to kind of, especially when we're getting in that kind of lull mode.
And also sort of like the activities we try and do, obviously we don't have that much funding, but we try and make it as accessible to young people. And that means like maybe trying to bring in people that are, you know, from a lower socioeconomic background, people from different ethnic backgrounds as well. So I really want to make sure that people from all kinds of backgrounds are empowered to go into whatever field they want to.
That's really cool. So with these young people, how do they end up in this, you know, being a rep or...
as in like, how did I or...
The younger people within Future
Leaders Network.
Network. Yeah. How do they get involved? Is it through school or are they part of something?
Okay, so it's actually targeted towards 18 to 30-year-olds. So it's more like young professionals. So it's, again, sort of people who want to break into their career field, people who are maybe at university or just come out of university. Even, as I said, people who are 30 and still maybe figuring out what they want to do or want to maybe change their career or just become empowered in general. And honestly, just the way they can do it is go to our website or find us on social media and sign up. And then you can like find out our events, our conferences, our training that we do.
So yeah.
So essentially, be proactive.
Yeah,
search
exactly.
For it. It's
yeah.
not going to come to you. But yeah. like, if that's a bit of a kind of, you know, thing on your mind, then search
yeah,
for it. You'll find
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yourself, how did you get involved in the network?
Yeah. So I started at the beginning of 2021. I saw again on LinkedIn. on LinkedIn, I saw the Future Leaders Network were recruiting volunteers to help them put together the Y7, which is mm-hmm. the Youth 7. And this is like the youth engagement group for the Group of Seven or the G7, which is a huge international governmental summit. It's composing of the seven top mm-hmm. economies of the world. So Boris Johnson, for example, represented us last year as the Prime Minister of the UK. And in 2021, the UK were hosting the G7. So the Y7 was being hosted by Future Leaders Network.
Wait, was this the one down in Cornwall?
Yes, it was. Yeah, the one in Cornwall. Yeah. So I applied to it. I had an interview and then they recruited me. And I was with a team of other young people trying to help put together this U7. And then we got invited to go to the G7 summit in Cornwall.
Oh, wow.
So we were in Cornwall for a few days and we got to go
exciting.
There. And I was actually doing a lot of work on media. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm the head of communications, because my sort of my forte was media. And with the G7 summit, it was all about talking to journalists and everything. So again, I was kind of like leading it and I was in a media briefing. And so it was a really, really exciting experience. And wow. I never thought I'd be able to do something like that. And yeah, it was the first time the U7 had been invited to a G7 event as well. Yeah,
quite a few kind of milestone moments for the network as well. As
yeah, exactly.
And all happened via LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that volunteering sort of role was only for a year. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the year, the CEO was, you know, called me up and was like, can you stay on as head of communications, like kind of promoted? And I was like, yeah, love
amazing.
To. So yeah, now here I am. So I'm really glad that they kept me on because I love working with them.
That's so good. And I think we really do need to do more to kind of like nurture young minds.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And when I say young minds, that's equally like ourselves as well. Because,
yeah,
you know, no matter what age that we get, I think that's really important.
Yeah, we're always learning.
Yeah, we can't, you know, to always be positive is pretty much unrealistic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we need to kind of like pick ourselves back up, because when you kind of really focus on the world, there are so many things that can get you down.
Oh, yeah.
The inequality and so on. Oh, my God. I remember do you remember? This is a bit of a personal story, but there was a big piece on Channel 4 mm-hmm. a few years ago, probably like in 2018, 2019, mm-hmm. About UK poverty in the UK and where like families up north or in certain parts of Essex were struggling to kind of feed their children and so on. And that was so harrowing. And I was on a date and somehow the conversation turned into poverty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know, okay, this now is going off tangent. But
No, like, I love this.
I always sit there. My biggest thing about a date is I can't really do like a quick date. So I can't do just like one drink and bike.
Yeah.
I'm just out there thinking, what do they vote?
You
where
need
do
to
they
go
stand?
Into the whole spiel, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, what do they think about movement, immigration, and so on?
Yeah.
And I feel like I was telling my mom that, like, there's so many things that go in my head while I'm sitting there, and then I'm trying to dissect that person. My mom's like, oh, you really need to stop thinking like that, because otherwise everyone will not fit in that box and the box will forever be empty and so on. But it's just like, oh, I don't know where that conversation went, but clearly I was very passionate about the poverty in the UK and so on.
Yeah.
And then I think the guy was just so shocked.
Yeah.
clearly that did went nowhere. But I did not think of asking you this, but I was just thinking, like, when you meet people and so on, is that like, or even just in friendly situations, right? Because in London you meet so many people. And does that like kind of, you know, is that something that...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I would say I'm in a bubble. Mm-hmm. The people I meet or I tend to meet are obviously like from London. So they're more like, you know, left leaning at least. They're more progressive at least. And obviously I hang out with like a lot of university educated students. And statistically also they're also left leaning.
So I am in a bubble. So when I do meet people, usually they are progressive, left-leaning and stuff. But you're right. Like, it is all kind of in the back of my mind. I'm just like, I'll say a comment. I'll be like, And yeah, it's sometimes got me in sticky situations.
And you remember the comments, like what they made, yeah, or, you know, their views about something.
Like, oh, okay. And then, but you've got that noted in your head, like, okay, so that person?
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah, yeah. But I try to neutralize that a lot more, because I remember at some point, especially at university, I used to be so passionate. I used to like almost get into debates with people who just weren't as left-wing as me, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I also used to be like, no, you got to think this way. And I used to get into, you know, debates, you know, friendly debates.
Yeah.
But now I try to neutralize that a little bit more. But yeah, I've got that noted down. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Life,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, you were in Spain for a period of time.
Yes.
How did that go?
So I just returned, as I said, about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And I was in Spain for the last 10 months. And you
That's
know
so
what?
Nice to be away from the UK for
I know,
while,
it yeah. was really nice. It was nice to get away from it all as well. Mm. Like, I wasn't even like trying to read the news of the UK. I was like, you know, try and stay away from that. But I was actually doing something completely different. I was teaching English there.
Nice.
And I know people, like, I remember when I first went then, people were like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm just like, I'm teaching English. And, you know, it's so random, you know, I don't want to be a teacher. You know, didn't ever say I had an interest in teaching or, you know, and I had this career trajectory, you know, I just finished my master's. I'd worked in human rights for 2 years. It seemed like there was a certain trajectory. But I think, and I know a lot of people did a sort of self-reflection, especially during the pandemic, I think I realized that I'm still so young and I don't want to have the weight of the world on my shoulders. And when you're working in human rights, when you're working in politics, it's such a demoralizing field at times, because like you said, there's so many inequalities, there's so many fights we fought, but I can't fight them all, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it was just kind of getting to me a little bit. My master's was really hard, you know, especially doing it all online. So I was just kind of burnt out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really just want to live abroad and do something completely different. And I did look at jobs abroad, but with Brexit, it was very difficult. Yeah. So I found this program through the British Council that, you know, you can teach English. And I just did it. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And I always say also, doing different jobs and living different lives is also so important, mm-hmm. not just for personal growth, but also for someone who works in politics. How are you going to represent the voices of people, you know, across the country, if you just live this one privileged life, if you just live this one career track of this, if you've just done one type of job? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, different experiences feed into how you, like, your belief system.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important to also just like mix it up. So yeah, and I had an amazing time. I lived in Madrid, so the capital city, and yeah, it was amazing. And I did a lot of traveling as well, so yeah.
No, that's really good. And I think I liked how you kind of brought it to that point that, you know, sometimes we deserve that bit of change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the more that we do, the more, like, because if you just continued, if you had found another job in the same sector, you probably would be in a place where you'd have more responsibilities.
Yeah.
And the thought of taking 10 months out and so on to kind of do something, it just would be like, oh no, this just won't work and so on.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It'd be a bigger conversation piece. So I think you have to do it. And you're Absolutely. Only 25 as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
And what I always say is, you know what, touch wood, like, if we live for another XYZ years, that's quite a lot anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, why, you know, just pause or take it slow as well, because, you know, work is always going to be there, sadly.
This is what I say to everyone. I always like, you are going to work for the rest of your life. It's okay to take 10 months just to have a little break.
Yeah. I mean, they're just increasing the retirement age and everything.
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of us are getting much more fitter, and maybe it is like, you know, important that we continue working and so on.
Mm.
But equally, I feel like a lot of us are working because for various reasons, but a part of people are working because we just feel like, you know, that's the only way.
But
if we have the space and kind of opportunity to really kind of find something that we enjoy or are really like passionate about outside of work, then please make some time for that as well.
Absolutely. And I think I know this comes ironic coming from someone who is, I am, I would say, very career driven, but I think we need to try and sort of unlearn that, like, we need to be career driven all the time. I think when we're old and gray, we're not going to look back, oh, I did this many years, mm-hmm. I achieved this. Obviously, achievements are important, but also about the friends that you made along the way, about the places that you visited, about the experiences that you had. That's also really important. So I think, especially while I'm still young, I really wanted to do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. I'm so glad that you had such a good time
out
there.
Thank you so much.
Teaching English. Was this for...
It was teaching English at a high school.
Ah, okay.
So cool. Yeah, we're completely to what I'm used to. And it was a really good experience. Yeah.
And did you pick up any Spanish along the way?
I did, yeah. Still learning, but it's so weird coming back because I had like Nepalese English and Spanish in my head. And I was I remember I got off the bus and I said gracias to someone instead of thank you. So it's all like three languages in my head. I'm like, yeah.
I want to go to Spain, maybe Madrid. Not like I've been to the islands, some Spanish islands, but I've never been to mainland Spain.
Yeah.
But I watch quite a few Spanish TV series and so on.
They're good, aren't they? Yeah.
They speak so fast. And a lot of them, they're like, por favor, and stuff like that. I'm just like, I just want to go there to be able to pick up a few things and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. I would really recommend the south of Spain as well. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. But equally, the UK is really nice at the moment why is it nice is another question.
Yeah.
But it's really warm. So it's warm, and which is the best time, like summer in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good time for you to come back.
Yeah.
So in terms of now that you're back, if, you know, looking ahead, like how do you kind of, not meaning to rush you, but like, you know, is there any kind of ideas or themes emerging in terms of where you want to kind of step in?
Yeah. So, I mean, as anyone in their 20s know, trying to figure out what you want to do in life is such a difficult process. And I think doing my master's really helped. So I know I would definitely still want to work in the field of politics and international relations. But my master's, we learned a lot about humanitarian work and migration and natural disasters. And I was super interested in that. So I now know, like, I want to work in that. So right now, I'm obviously doing my work with Future Leaders Network. I'm also working as a consultant for a research organization. So that's how I'm, like, paying the bills, I guess. Yeah. But I now want to start applying to jobs in the humanitarian sector.
That's really incredible. And it's really good that, like, you know, you've got that time to really kind of
think
because some people don't, right?
Yeah,
and that's
why
it's just one job to the other, and it's not quite that thing. But yeah, that's amazing that you're gonna kind of, you know, launch into that and pursue that. So do you see yourself working in the UK for such organizations, or is there a desire for you to kind of like be based in other parts of the world as well?
I'm open to anything. So obviously I've already lived in Spain. I actually also lived in the Netherlands for 6 months because I did my study abroad semester there. So I mean I love living abroad, I was born and raised in Nepal until I was six, so I feel like I just love learning about different cultures, living in different places. So if it does take me elsewhere, I'm very open to that. And I think I do want a job where I at least have to travel as well, because I think travel is very important component to
me. I think so as well. Obviously kind of bringing the conversation back to like 2022, a lot has happened in the past 2 years, especially with the different movements, whether it's like in the kind of American, the Western world, as well as, you know, various things that happened, you know, back in Nepal. Whether it's kind of caste issues, people of different kind of socioeconomic spectrum and so on, the inequality of COVID, or the access to the vaccines and so on.
Yeah, 100%.
And now race, ethnic minorities and so on here as well.
100%.
Within the, you know, when you were kind of much more involved with the Labour Party, how did you feel about, you know, being a woman, but being a woman from a minority community? Did you see many people like yourself? Because obviously we think labor means all of us, right? In that kind of, you know, in that spectrum. How was it?
I mean, the Labour Party as a whole, like when I went to conferences and events, everyone's very welcoming, and it is pretty diverse, especially compared to other political parties. But you're right, I didn't see many people that look like me in terms of like my race. I never saw Nepalese people, especially young Nepalese people, never ever. Like I would maybe see other ethnic groups being represented because I used to go to like youth events.
Yeah.
Never Nepalese people. As I said, as a woman of colour, I would also find that even within left-wing spaces, whether it's a Labour Party or just general left-wing spaces, I would find myself being patronized a little bit at times. And, you know, I'm just like, am I just, you know, overthinking this? And then you talk to other young women and you realize, okay, it's not just me. This is actually a thing that happens, even in, you know, progressive spaces. Mm. And I think, like, when you're younger and still trying to figure out what you believe in, it's really easy to be patronized, because these people, they come in, they've got like, oh, you know, I've read this, I've read that. But actually, you bring something unique. You know, they're a white male. Exactly. But I'm a woman of color. I bring my experiences of being an immigrant, of being a woman, of being a Nepalese woman into this space. And my views and my experiences should feed into policies, should feed into discussions as well. And actually, I would say, really, I've got something more valuable to bring, you know, mm-hmm. something a bit different. So I think it took a bit of time to like sort of like learn that and like really reinforce myself. Okay, no, I've got a space to say something and I have a voice and I should say that. But yeah, patronizing behavior is so common in all spaces, especially towards young women. So yeah.
Gosh. Sadly, it's universal.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a question when you were kind of talking about that and unpacking it, but now it's completely lost.
Oh yeah, take your time.
Yeah. So I'm the one with the silence today.
I've left you speechless.
Cool. Now I'm still kind of thinking.
No, take your time.
Oh, yes. So I wanted to ask, like, you mentioned that you were actually born in Nepal.
Yes.
Yeah. And so at what age did you come to the UK? And was that from Nepal or did you have a bit of a journey to like other countries?
So I was born in Nepal, in Pokhara. Mm-hmm. And I came here when I was 6. So it was straight from Pokhara to London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, I know that question. You mentioned that you did not see any other Nepali people as well.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, without obviously, you know, we don't want to blame anybody for not doing something, but equally, I'm really interested to know, like, why are we not seeing the many young Nepali people here? Because there's a lot of millennial Nepalis in the UK. Like, why are we not seeing them being an active member of a political party, not just Labour, whether it's like other parties and so on.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, this is just from my experience. Mm-hmm. There probably are active young Nepalese people out there, but just from when I used to enter, you know, events and conferences, I would just not meet Nepalese people. And I think we're still a fairly new migrated group in the context of things. You know, other ethnic groups that have migrated, they've been here for decades, some even, you know, centuries.
Yeah.
And we're still fairly new, actually, because I remember when I first moved to South London in my local area, we were actually the first Nepalese family there. And then people started migrating. And now we've got a community, but we're still fairly new in the grand scheme of things. So I think people are still not as integrated maybe into like UK politics, but I know there's no shortage of passion. I know there's no shortage of interest, but maybe there's just not like a clear cut route for them to get involved. Or maybe them, like a lot of young Nepalese people are more like pushed towards the medical field, you know, you got to be a doctor kind of thing, or the engineering field. And maybe even if they have an interest in politics, maybe they don't think there's a place for them because they're concentrating on their field or whatever, which is, for me, I was like lucky enough that I was like in my field and, you know, that was related to it. So that's why I feel like I could push myself to go there. So maybe that's the reason why. But, you know, in general, young people aren't always the most active in politics in traditional methods, but they're, as I said, there's a shortage of passion or drive. We just need to channel that in maybe different avenues.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good answer. And that's a good kind of observation as well, especially around like, you know, a lot of movement from Nepal or whether it's Hong Kong that actually started from like 2000, like between 2005, 6, 7 period.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not been that long in the grand scheme of things.
Exactly. But I hope that there will be more individuals and so on.
Too,
whether, you know, you don't have to be an active member or you don't have to even like rise up and so on, but just having that kind of political awareness and literacy and having an open dialogue, but also making 100%. Sure that you're respectfully listening into other people's views. Because everything that we do, you know, is political and it feeds into all aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
But I think whilst I might not have seen many young Nepalese people in political party spaces, I do feel like there is a lot of young Nepalese people questioning like the traditional Nepalese way of thinking. Like I mentioned the patriarchy, for example. So many young people are, you know, disputing that and questioning that and, you know, standing up to the parents being like, you know, we shouldn't think like this. And also, you know, the colorism in our communities as well. Mm. I feel like we're also being progressive with that, the racism, everything. I think there are so many dialogues happening, and I'm so like happy to see that happening.
Oh my god, yeah, definitely. And we now just need to like kind of like take a step back and see that all connects to somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, exactly.
So,
yeah
but that's cool. So, yeah, I'm definitely like interested to see like in this kind of space, you know, who will emerge and so on. And I hope like it, you know, just hearing your story is great. And I know that there's a lot of Nepali especially more men who are in like, you know, occupying positions of being a counselor, mayors and so on. I hope like other people follow suit as well.
100%. We need more women and we need more younger people as well.
That's cool. So just wanted to ask you, like, what do you kind of what are some of the kind of media or creatives that you engage in, like books that you've read that you could that you can recommend, or a good film and so on?
Oh my gosh, that's a difficult one. Oh my gosh, you put me on the spot now. I'm like thinking about all my favorite.
I don't know, maybe a Twitter handle or an Instagram user or a page,
you know what?
That you can kind of recommend to us.
You know what? There is, I think they're on most social media. I think it's Working Class History, they're called. And they, every day, they post a picture. And it's marking the anniversary of a significant event in history. And usually they try and highlight people that are from the working class or people that have been forgotten by history. Mm. And I really like that because, and I can't remember the quote now, but it's, you know, when we go to history classes, we always learn about the kings, the queens, the presidents, and obviously they're all important to learn about. But it is ordinary people every day that make change. All these social movements that have happened in our lives happened because ordinary people congregated and believed in a cause and fought for that cause. The 8-hour week that we, 8-hour day week that we have, you know, working 8 hours, we didn't always have that. It's because workers came together one day, you know, and fought against that. And so this, this Instagram, and I think they're on Twitter as well, Working Class History, they always post significant like events that have happened in history. And I love it because you learn so much, and it's from all over the world as well. So you learn about things that have happened like all over the world. It's honestly so educational. I love it.
No, that sounds great. I'm gonna have to give it a follow, because a lot of the times when these kind of pages emerge, you know, they have their own reasons, but sometimes it's very kind of just US centric
or UK centric. Exactly. And our education system as well is very UK and US centric. So it's so nice to hear and learn about other people's history, other countries' histories.
Definitely That's amazing. So we're gonna give that a follow. And I guess if you people listening at home are interested in Akansha, Akansha's story and so on, then you are on Twitter.
Yes, at Akansha G.
So that's where you can follow and kind of get, I guess, networking or see more from Akansha as well. I think we're pretty much nearing to the end of the podcast, and it has been a delight to have this conversation
you.
With you.
It's been so nice speaking to you.
It's been such a breath of, you've been such a breath of fresh air as well, because, you know, I've spoken to quite a lot of different people, and I guess you know, we haven't had somebody that we could speak to about politics, but also that kind of young youth energy and so on as well. And I think you have an exciting future ahead of you as well. Do you have any kind of final words to share, not to me, but like to anyone listening?
You put me on the spot, but just if you believe in something, don't lose hope. And there's so many ways to advocate for that cause. I'm not saying you have to be like me and go full out or whatever, but even having conversations with your family, your friends, you're creating something. So don't never ever like underestimate the power that you have just as an individual as well.
That's so important. Yeah. And that should be a lifetime thing.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing piece of action. And on that note, thank you so much to everyone listening on YouTube or Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Please continue listening. Give it a thumbs up and rate 5 stars out of 5.
Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, silver partners, Tap Tap Send and New Lakshmi Jewelers, bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining and Nepali Music Festival UK 2022. Thank you for listening to Ek Chin With.